So Pastor Jerry asked me to speak this week. He asked me, I don't know, a while ago. So I struggle with all the speaking stuff. I critique myself. Other people critique me, which is good. And I thought about, I've got this title, In a Predicament, when I was thinking about, because Pastor Jerry said, well, what's the title of your sermon? I said, Boxed in a Corner. That don't sound right. Boy, that's too long. It doesn't sound right, you know. I said, I'll get back with you on that. So, some time went by, and I said, Lord, you got to give me a title for this message, In a Predicament. Okay, and I've got my notes here, Boxed in a Corner. So sometimes we get that way. Sometimes it's a little bit more than just a predicament. Sometimes we really feel like we've been put in a situation that there's no way out. You ever felt that way? Oh, my gosh. I've had several times where there's no way out. Somebody has cancer. Your job. Relationships. Church. Work environment. I've had several times work environment where I felt like there was no way out. I was totally boxed in that situation. So, yeah. Did you bring up the images yet? I'm waiting for the images. I've got a couple humorous. I like that one. Looks like from something from the 1940s, old stilts made out of 2x4s, Resourceful young man there grabbed the branch before everything fell out from underneath him. So support. So in my own life, and I think certainly, sometimes I find a situation in my own life, I say, okay, I understand this from my own circumstances, but how does the Bible deal with this? Because I'm here to preach. I'm here to preach the word and talk about what God says. But certainly anything in this earth that we experience has got to be in Scripture. Certainly anything that happens on this earth has got to be in Scripture, does it not? And it does. The Bible deals profusely with people being in a predicament. So there's some typical responses if you're taking notes this morning. And I've certainly felt this. And I've thought about this as an option, is run. I'm in a predicament and I don't want to deal with it. The first idea is just run. Run away from the situation. Running often keeps us from addressing, especially if you have a predicament with another person, let's say a spouse or somebody in the church or somebody at work. And it keeps us sometimes from being frank and talking to other people. And I think we need to be cautious about that. I think you need to really think about things. Sometimes I've said things to my wife that were just totally inappropriate, out of anger, or said something to somebody at work, or a pastor, or whatever, a fellow church member, whatever, is just totally out of character. You need to be cautious about that. We'll talk about that. The other thing is be despondent. And you say, what does that mean, be despondent? Well, actually, I looked that up. I sort of thought I knew what that meant. It means to be low in spirit and low in hope and courage. So these are typical responses, and I've experienced them all. Be lazy. Oh, well, that's just the way that it is. I've seen couples resign themselves. Oh, well, and she'll go her way and I'll go mine. We'll live in the same house, but oh, well, that's fine. Another response is typical is be angry. Well, I'm not getting what I want, so I'm going to be angry against this other individual. I've seen various things happen at work where somebody's angry with their work environment, and being angry can end up being, and you can end up being bitter. Be very careful of that. 2 Corinthians 1:8 reads this, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." So Paul's discussing here, and I really like this. It says that we were pressed out of measure. Have you ever felt like you were put in a position and the pressure was so great, so immense, you were like, I'm going to lose my mind. I've had it. I can't take it anymore. And at that time, we want to act, our human nature is we want to act irrationally. We have a tendency to act irrationally. And all of a sudden, things come out of our mouth, or we do certain things, And believe me, I'm telling you by experience, things that I've regretted. So Paul says, and he's writing to the church at Corinth, we were pressed out of measure, and he says, above strength. In other words, they had no strength left. I'll give you a funny story. So I was telling Sunday school, my wife and I bought some property up in the UP. If you go across the bridge and you make the loop, you got to make the loop. Don't go to the right towards St. Ignace, although our address is St. Ignace, but you need to go in the other direction. You need to go west, young man. So make the loop. And then when you go and make the loop, there's the Sunoco station on the right. We know where everything's at. Big Boy and drive-in Clyde's. We went there and ate. I was so excited about diner food. When we got there, it was a little disappointing, but my wife told me it would be. But anyway, go out about 10 minutes and our property's out that way. And one side of our property surveyed, and it's really weird the way it's not square, it's really strange. Somebody sold off a chunk of it years ago, but the stakes are there. We found all the stakes. We've made it a point. If we ever decide to progress in the future, we're going to build, which we have not. We just got financially recovered from building a driveway. And maybe we'll build. We'll see. Lord knows. So I want to take a look at the west side, which the only side is a straight line. So basically, you know, I told the surveyors, you put 3 or 4 posts along there. So we're checking it out. And we're walking along there, and I said, oh, man, I'm like, Tim, look at this nice old dead ash tree. And I patent this ash tree thinking, down the road, I'm going to cut this ash tree, and I'm going to turn it into firewood, you know. So I'm patting this ash tree, and all of a sudden, bang, I start getting stung by bees. And they're I call them the yellow jackets, you know. Sometimes they can be in the ground. Sometimes they can be up in nests. But, you know, them, and they're vicious. They will attack you. Well, I've gotten stung in the past. Jeez, oh, Pete, I've gotten stung 10, 14, 15 times and, you know, brushed it off. My wife doctored me, put some, you know, you take the baking soda and put it on all the stings, you know, and went to work that day. That wasn't the case that day. So I just said bees, and I took off, and I guess I wasn't worried about her. She was running behind me. She said she only got stung once or twice. I got it pretty good, and I got it stung in all vital areas. I got it stung with blood flow here, 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 every place where there was blood flow. And it was during the summer, and I ran all the way to our driveway, and I was just, I'm a runner. I like to run, try to run 2-3 days a week. I don't always achieve that goal depending on my schedule and my energy at over 60, but so I'm a runner. I'm not like I'm out of shape or something. And I make it almost to the driveway where our building spot is, and I just like I had to sit down. And I sit down on the ground, and my wife's looking at me, and she's standing. She just got done running, and she thought I was having a heart attack, and she's screaming my name, Mike, over and over and over again, you know. And I was so out of energy. And so out of, there was nothing left. And my wife's screaming at me, and she, you know, she's panicking, and I'm trying to reassure her that I think I'm going to live. But it got to a point, I felt like my spirit was going to leave me. And I said, I was ready to let it go. And the Lord said to me, not yet. So sometimes we can get in our life where we're put in a situation like that. Now, the weird thing about that was, let me give you how God works. I think it was all a learning experience for all of us, my wife and I and our kids and everything. And now I carry EpiPens with me because I'm allergic to bees, fully aware of that. But not 2 weeks later, I'm at home and I got my chainsaw, Tim, my steel chainsaw, and I'm cutting wood, these pine trees, which are no good for nothing except the campfire in the background. I won't burn that in my stove. And I get stung once. So here it is, 2 weeks later, I get stung, and I got the saw running, and I'm tired. Just the sound of them aggravate bees, and I set the saw down, and I step back. I was standing over a hole when I was cutting the trees of a whole hive of bees and only got stung once. Why is that? Why is that? Isn't our God a great God? He taught me a lesson a couple weeks before, but he had grace upon me 2 weeks later. I could have got stung again and been in exactly the same position. So one may ask, when you are pressed out of measure, out of strength, what is the purpose of it all? Write this down. It builds character. It builds your character. And we all need character building. It tries your faith, which produces patience, and is more precious than gold, the Bible says. It determines your character and your determination. We have watched, my wife and I, we've been saved about 40 years, and we've been in many different situations, situations with the school system, situations at church, situations with family that was very, very tried and stressful. And at those times when you make decisions about what you're going to do, it's going to determine what character you have and what character you're going to have in the future. I've been in a church meeting where people were exploding. And I just, you know, I don't always perform in good character, but I just sat there and shut my mouth. And finally, I had shut my mouth so much that somebody asked me to turn around and said, "Mike, what do you have to say?" So I said, "Well, now I'm in a corner. Now I have to say something, and I hope it's in good character. Hope I'm not slandering someone," because the accusations were flying. And I had a situation at work that was very trying. And I was going to work and up in Midland. And I said, "Lord, I cannot bear this anymore. I'm going to quit today. I'm going to quit today. Today is the day I'm going to quit. I can't take this anymore. I am pressed out of measure. This is too much. I can't handle it. I think I'm going crazy." I stuck with it. Something told me, hang in there, hang in there. Not maybe 1 month, 2 months later, opportunity came up. I got a different job. I was taken out of that situation. Had I not bared in character, had I reacted irrationally, I would have lost a blessing that God had for me. We've been at the reading of the will, and there was a lot at stake. And people were very, very angry. And are you going to stay in character? And you know, I got to the point where I realized about how I felt about money and things. Mom meant me to have that. Dad meant me to have that. And I deal in antiques on the side. Oh, I've been there more than just my own situation, other people's situation. That gun was intended for me. That dresser was intended for me. And the tempers are flying. And I know people that have split and haven't talked to each other since. We know a couple that south of the bridge at Paradise, and due to their circumstance, she has a sister and a brother, and since the reading of the will, she hasn't talked to him in 10 years. And that's happened multiple times. What are you going to do when you're under pressure? The other thing is, it prepares you for the future. We don't know what that future is, but God does. God holds the future in his hands. He holds the future in his hands. I don't know what the future is. People ask me, "When are you going to retire?" I don't know. I don't understand people can make all these plans because God always changes mine. I've learned to just relax, sit back, and say, "Lord, when you know, we have some intentions about what we want to do." But I like what Pastor Dan said when we were going to Hopevale. He says, "Jiggle the door and see if it's locked or unlocked. Hold your plans loosely. You don't know what tomorrow will bring." Second Chronicles says, talk about it, King Hezekiah. This is very interesting. I find this very interesting. But it said that God left him, so he wasn't having communication with Hezekiah to know what was in his heart. Have you ever had times when it seemed like God was distant? Scripture talks about that. You say, "Well, you know, the Bible says Jesus said, I've walked with you and talked." He does. "I will never leave your safety." Thank you. He absolutely said that. But at the same times that you're not hearing from him, it tries your heart whether you're going to stay in character, whether you're going to do the right thing. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the heart. Give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." I think often God has allowed things to happen to me to say, "Mike, are you really going to trust me? Are you really going to trust me?" Because at times, I'll be honest with you, I was angry with God. I was angry, mad. And ask him, God, where are you in this situation? Where are you? I think we've all been at that. One of the things that I think that we need to do, these are would-be responses. And I know this is hard because I know I've not wanted to do it. I did it later. You need to praise the Lord. You need to praise God. It changes your demeanor. Psalms 50, verse 23 says, Whosoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright, to him that orders his conversation aright. You know, a lot of times I've gotten myself in situations and I've made it progressively worse, not only for myself, but other people because of my own conversation. It wasn't aright. He who orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. In other words, God says, maintain your integrity, control your tongue, and I will deliver you. Oh, I love that. I love that so much in one verse. The other thing is this, avoid rash decisions. I've watched different people that I would call immature, not that I'm trying to be judgmental or think that I'm better than they are, but just my casual observance and being on this earth for quite some period of time, where people went from decision, 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 and you say, well, that person's inconsistent. There's an inconsistency in their life because they keep making rash decisions. They don't think about it. They want a way out. They want to run. They don't want to deal with it, and so they make rash decisions. Proverbs 19:2 speaks very explicitly about this. Also, that the soul that be without knowledge, it is not good. A lot of times I have made, and I'm sure all of us have made, decisions without all the facts, without all the understanding. You know, one thing that I've learned, hopefully I'm maturing in, because I like to, you know, okay, God, this is what you want to do. Let's do it. Let's go. Okay, let's go. I'm ready because that's the way I am. I'm just motivated like that. God says, be patient. I put this on your heart, but be patient about moving forward. Wait. And as I became a better understanding of things, it changed my direction a little bit. Changed my conversation. And the Bible says that in this verse, it is not good, and he that hastens, that means he's doing it too quick, with his feet, that's action, sins. He sins. And there's repercussions for that. It hurts. It hurts us. It hurts other people. We as humans in our nature mostly make opinions without all the facts. You've heard them, you know. People have very limited knowledge, and more they're opinionated about it. And, you know, to be honest with you, all of our opinions count, and they mean something. That's the way we are as humans, aren't we? My opinion's important. Void decisions in anger. It often produces regret. Do not be angry at another party. You say, well, they're hurting me. God knows. He's in control of it all. When we were at the reading of the will, and my wife, we were having a discussion, pretty large group discussion, and there was a whole lot of things flying around the room. My wife says, I'm going for coffee. And I'm looking at her, and she goes, and she says, she's praying in her car. She asked anybody, you want coffee? It's late at night. No, I want a coffee. And she says, God, I just can't believe how mean these people can be. And God told her, what about their souls? Sometimes there's things of a higher value of importance than us getting what we want. Getting our own way and our own opinion. The other thing is this, and I'm speaking this entirely from experience, do not be angry with the Lord. You say, Mike, have you been angry with God? Absolutely. Guess what? He can take it. He's big. Bigger than you and I are. He can take it. And I've had to apologize. But he can take it. And he's forgiving. Do not become embittered. And this is easy to do. We just heard about a church split here about a year ago. Do not become embittered with the brethren. Somebody, they split off into the church, and then they invited us to their church, and I didn't say anything, and we got in the car, and I said, there's no way I'd want to go to that church. My wife says, why? I said, they're all bitter. They left that church, and they're all bitter. Why would I want to go there? Why would I want to go to a church with a bunch of bitter people? I don't want to go there. Besides, we have a church. So be cautious with your tongue in such circumstances. It's a good time when you're in such situations. Read the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs speaks profusely about character and the tongue. Ephesians 4:30 through 32 says this, and grieve not, this is what happens, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You have the Holy Spirit of God. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit until the day you die. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor. I had to look up that word clamor and evil speaking. We'll get back to that. Be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. I had an incident many, many years ago. And I have I mentioned this in Sunday school, I have a concealed weapon permit, and so I'm allowed to carry a gun on my person. They're allowed to carry in certain areas and allowed to carry a gun in my vehicle. And so I was going to an antique call. I buy and sell antiques, and it was out in Clio, and I'm headed down Burt Road, and there was this old S10 pickup truck, little dinky thing. And he went around the corner, and I'm not exaggerating. Sometimes we exaggerate to get our own way, don't we? I've done it many times. But he's literally doing 15 miles an hour or something. I know it's a double line. I'm not supposed to pass him, but sayonara. And I passed him. And he, it just irritated this guy. And he come up on me. And the faster I go, the faster he went till I got all the way down to the Dixie Highway. And then he overpowered me and slammed his brakes in front of me. And I went, and I just had this car 2 weeks, and I went to put it in reverse because I wanted to get out of the situation, not be in the situation. I'd rather run. So sometimes there is a time to run. And I hit neutral. And the car's revving. I said, you are stuck. So I roll the window down. It's nice outside. And I go reaching for my gun, which is in my console. And the Lord said to me, it'll be okay. I said, okay. And so when he was coming up, and he was marching up, and he was mad, and I put the council down, and he seen me put the council down. Whether he knew what I was going to do or not knew what I was going to do, I don't know. But his, and I noticed, I'm kind of an observer of people and human nature. His pupils were dilated like that. You say, well, he was on drugs. Not necessarily. He might have been angry. He might have had a fight with his wife that day. Very, very mad. One takes it out on me. I don't know. I don't know the situation, but he was mad. He said, what are you doing back there? I said, well, you were doing 15 miles an hour. I said, I passed you. There's been accidents there. And he's ranting and raving. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. The Lord said, give him a soft answer. And I tell you, I wanted to argue in the worst way that I want to argue. Because he was wrong. He was totally wrong. And I wanted to tell him why he was wrong. That's not always the answer of proving in the situation that you are right. It's not always the answer. I said, yep, you're right. Okay, yep. I'll make sure I mind my business in the future. And he you know, well, me giving him a soft answer, he cooled down a little bit, went back. That could have been an escalated, that could have been something you read on the news. Very well could have been, and you could apply that to a whole lot of situations. So clamor means this, according to Webster, insistent public speaking as in support or protest, continuous noise. Vine's Dictionary, which is a Bible dictionary, says, in the tumult of controversy. In other words, people are not being in agreement. There's controversy. When we are self-willed and opinionated to our own passion, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Do not become too desperate. You serve a God who is able. Prayer changes things. When we were in this reading of the will, and I'm saying this partly out of embarrassment, I said, all right, God, I give it all to you. All of it. And I did not want to do that. I wanted Grandpa's gun. I wanted this. I wanted that. I was entitled to that. And I gave it all. God began to take over and do a work. The church does not belong to us. The church does not belong to you. Well, I'm an elder here. Big deal. So what? There's a song. I was listening to the music was fantastic this morning. I like praise and worship service. I used to be, my opinions have changed about a lot of things in my Christian walk. I realized over the years how wrong I've been about so many things, but some things are just a matter of desire or want, you know. I'm not saying one thing's better than the other, but I listened to worship music where years ago I'd never listened to it before, and you guys incorporated some worship music this morning. There's a worship song by Elevation. It's called Elevation Worship in Maverick City, and it's called Jireh. Jireh is a name for God and that He can provide. He is all. He's everything. Do you believe that? You know, God boils us down in situations sometimes to test whether we really believe that. It's easy to say on Sunday morning. It's a whole different story at other times when we are put under undue pressure. Let me read you a couple verses because I was so impressed. I was preparing for my message and I was listening to this song on my headphones at home. And I said, I had to look up the lyrics of this. And it says, God Himself will provide when circumstances are beyond our understanding. And here's the verses. If He dresses the lilies with beauty and splendor, how much more will He provide for you? If He watches over every sparrow, not one falls to the ground, how much more does He love you? He is able to do above all that you ask or think. Sometimes, when it seems like there's no hope, the answer is just through the door and around the corner. Oh, so often that has happened in my life. And I've looked back at how I acted and how I behaved and said, God, I did not conduct myself in a good manner. I didn't. He delivered me anyway. A situation. I was incorrect in my thinking. I was incorrect in my attitude. I was incorrect with what I said. So our last portion of scripture that I would like to take a look at is in Psalm, and it's pretty lengthy, Psalm 22. Verses 1 through 22, I don't find anybody who has more character than David. Yeah, but he did that thing with Bathsheba. You need to read his whole life. Pete's sake, stop focusing on one thing. God doesn't focus on one aspect of your life and say you're condemned. Don't condemn David by one thing that he did. He was a man of character throughout his life until that time, and then he regained it, and after that time, he tried to go back to the integrity he had to begin with. He was a man of integrity and character. Psalm of David, unto you, O Jehovah, do I lift up my soul. O my God, in you have I trusted. Let me not be put to shame. Let my enemies not triumph over me. Yes, none of them that wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be put to shame that deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Jehovah, and teach me your paths. David is under a stressful situation right here. This is the context of this. Guide me in your truth and teach me that you are the God of my salvation. For in you do I wait. He's waiting. He hasn't seen it yet. I wait all the day. Remember, O Jehovah, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have ever been of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. O Lord, sometimes we need to ask for forgiveness of what we've done. According to your loving kindness, remember me. O for thy goodness sake, O Jehovah, good and upright is Jehovah. Therefore will he instruct sinners in the way. The meek he will guide in justice. In the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of Jehovah are loving kindness and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies in your namesake. O Jehovah, listen to what David says here, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Well, things ain't going my way. Maybe it doesn't need to go your way. Maybe what is needed is your humility. Another aspect of this, and we're going to look at this, and we're going to see this in the rest of these verses. Have I contributed anything to this situation? Anything at all to this situation? Is it just the other person to blame, and I'm the one who's right here, and I'm going to demand what's right? Or have I contributed anything? What man is he that fears Jehovah? Him shall he instruct in the way. In other words, God's going to show it to you. That he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease. When I had surrendered that whole thing at the reading of the will, peace came over me. And then all of a sudden, God just started making things happen. I'm like, why was it so hard? And then all of a sudden, it got so easy. And his seed shall inherit the land. The friendship of Jehovah is with him that fear him. In other words, are you going to obey yourself? Or are you going to obey the Lord? And he will show him his covenant. My eyes are ever toward Jehovah. For he will pluck my feet out of the net. Say, I'm in a desperate situation. I'm in a net. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Troubles of my heart are enlarged. I mean, you talk about David being specific. He says, I'm in huge trouble here. Things are bad, man. I have a hard time smiling. Oh, bring me out of my distress. Consider mine affliction and my travail, and forgive all my sins. In the midst of all this is a self-examination. And sometimes that's exactly when we're in distress what God wants to do. Forgive me of all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. I've been slandered before by Christians. They told me how wrong I was. Some of the things they had correct, and other things they had very incorrect. But I don't have to uphold my own integrity. God does it. You're best off just be quiet. Let your words be few. Let me not be put to shame, for I will take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. For I wait on you, redeem Israel, God, out of all of his troubles. David asked the questions. Do I have to account for any actions in all this? He did. Read this when you go home, this whole passage of Scripture. Did I contribute to these problems? Distress can be a learning or growing in a growing experience, or it can be something destructive, and you dig your heels in and learn nothing of it all because of your stubbornness. Let me read that again. Distress can be a learning and growing experience, or it can be something destructive, and you dig your heels in and learn nothing at all because of your stubbornness. We are not to be self-seeking in such matters, but desiring whatever God's will, he is Jehovah. Really, what happens outside of our own discovery of ourselves in this situation is huge. Because we're really becoming, and we need to become more so. You say, I depend on the Lord. I understand that, and so do I. But I've realized in 60 years of life that sometimes that God wants to examine certain areas of my heart and certain areas of my life that I thought I had under control, and I don't. They need to be examined. And he's doing the examining, and he's doing the showing of me of things that I need to deal with and things that I need to examine. So the question is do I really trust him? Because if I really trust him, I'm not going to be mouthing off. I'm not going to be over-concerned about this situation. I'm really going to trust him. I'm really going to trust him. I know it's hard, man. I could give you countless other stories. Believe me, hard times are often a revealing of ourselves, the true nature of who we are, and our relationship with the Lord. And that's what it boils down to. It is not always a bad thing. Total release is when we yield ourselves to whatever the Lord sees fit to do, and that is often difficult. Whether you have success or failure is in the realm of your own decision. It's often in the realm of your own decision and what you decide to do. Will you bear the burden in integrity in the hope that God is in control of all things? God knows our inner heart, and sometimes it takes great pain and anguish for us to see who we really are. Yeah. I know I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I preached this before, but I asked the Lord, this was a few years ago, you know, God, I don't know what is in my life, but I'm going to just give you an opportunity to come in and examine me and show me my sin. After a week, I was totally grieved and totally humbled. After 2 weeks, I said, God, I can't take it anymore. I didn't realize I was this wicked. You've got to stop because I can't take it. And he did. Some, you know what, the only thing that's going to change this nation is not the next election. It's not changing our education system. Those things are important. Need to vote. Need to voice your opinion. All those things are important. What's going to change this nation is what's changed the nation of Israel. And what's changed this nation every single time. And that is when the church, you people, fall on your knees. And we fast. And we repent. Jeremiah and a lot of the other prophets not only confess their own sin, but they confess the sins of the people. They act, you know, it's easier for us, especially in the political realms that we live in, to be critical, speaking by experience, be angry, be bitter, panic. Okay. But have you ever said to the Lord, have mercy on those people? Or are they just your enemy? And the brother across the aisle is not your enemy. There are enemies, Satan, his angels, and they're having their work. Boy, we need to plead to God that we have a revival in this country. We need to plead on the throne of grace, and we need to humble ourselves. And in each and every situation that you've had, whether it be national, church, work, family, neighbors, apply these principles. I can give you a copy if Dave wants to make a copy of these of my notes here. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being on the throne and being in control. Lord, may we recognize that in our hearts, in our communities, in our church, you are able. Lord, I say we love you, but sometimes even saying that, it seems inconsistent because I know I don't love you all the time. I don't love you when sometimes you're dealing with me and things I don't want to be dealt with. But I do know this, Lord. You are merciful and you do love us more than we love you. God be with us. I pray, Lord, that this is a turning point in our lives. We put these things in practical use in any situation. I have no idea. All these individuals out here, where they're at, or those that listen to online, in their situations, I have no idea. But Lord, you know. And Lord, I pray that your word, because I know your word's alive, that you apply it to each one of our lives, and that it has some healing and instruction for us to move forward. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.